Good lively song service tonight, David. Thank you so much for leading us in these great songs that we all enjoy singing. Many of us have said to other people, a penny for your thoughts. We're going to have to quit saying that because they've quit making pennies. And I don't know where you would go to find one. I actually asked someone the other day at the bank about maybe trying to get a roll of pennies from this last year that they made them. And they said they're not available. So if you have pennies in your pocket, you are blessed, okay? Now, when we think of this little statement, a penny for your thoughts, you really would like to know what people are thinking in life. Sometimes you talk to people and they look like they're in a daze and you say, well, what are you doing? And they say, well, I was just thinking. You know, our mind goes 90 to, I don't know about yours, mine goes more than 90 an hour. I'm telling you, it just, you know, constantly turning over. There are all kinds of things that we need to know and things that we have to store within the mental capacity that God has given to each and every one of us. Sometimes we say, "Oh, don't mind me. I'm just pondering." And what they mean by that is they are thinking about something. They may not want to declare what it is. But what are your thoughts tonight? What are your thoughts? You know, King Solomon said many years ago that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what kind of thoughts do you have within your heart or your mind? I saw this, had to be too good. Whether you're young, whether you're old, we all have thoughts. We do. You know, sometimes I wonder what goes through the mind of our little great-grandson. And, you know, he's not really talking. All he says is pawpaw. Naturally. But anyway, when Audrey keeps him and he's always reaching for me, I'd like to know what really is going through his mind. I know he wants to go outside a lot, right? Yeah, he loves to be outside. But you have to wonder what he really is thinking about, or any child or baby. You know, the Bible says it was a man in the Old Testament who said, behold, I thought. Behold, I thought. And when you consider this proverb in 23 and verse 7 that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we're going to be judged not only by our actions, but by what is in our heart, and I really believe we will, then we need to make sure that we're thinking about the right things and that our thoughts are focused on God and the church and things that are of real consequence in life. And that is why Paul, by inspiration, would write concerning our thoughts in Philippians 4:8. He said, whatever things are true, things that are honorable or right or pure or lovely or admirable, or things that are excellent, he says, and worthy of praise, think on these things. But you know what we do? We clutter our minds so much with what's on the internet, as I mentioned this morning, or perhaps what's on television, and our mind is just so cluttered, and you don't know who to believe. And we were purchasing a new computer for the church. And anyway, one man told me one thing, and another man told me another thing, and I asked him, I said, who am I to believe? Who really is going to tell the truth about this issue? Whatever we think is what we're going to eventually do. Your thoughts will be activated and they will be acted out by you in your life. So what do you think? What do you really think? What's going on in your mind tonight? I want to talk to you about a better way to think tonight. The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. God said in Isaiah 55 that my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's why the Bible says we have to consider our ways, and that's found in that little book of Haggai over in the Old Testament, Minor Prophet, in chapter 1 and verse 7. Thus saying the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, most of us never really consider our ways. We should take an inventory of our thoughts periodically, maybe. What do you think on most of all? In the book of Psalms 119, in those verses 57 through 60, David says, "You are my portion, O Lord, and I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways." And I like that thought. I'm not just thinking about what I've been thinking. A lot of it is thinking, you know. But anyway, he says, "I considered my ways. I thought about my ways, but I didn't just think about it and end there." Notice what he says, "and turned my feet to your testimonies." He said, "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." In the book of Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Bible has a lot to say about the days of Nimrod in the Old Testament. Remember when they were building that tower up to heaven? And, I mean, God told them that they could do anything according to the imagination of their heart. Listen to it. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." And you know what? There hadn't been a whole lot of changes in our society today. Perhaps maybe it's even a lot worse than it was. But he kind of gives a dismal picture here of what our thoughts are and what our thoughts will do for us and to us. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament was a man by the name of Isaiah. And in the 55th chapter in verse 8, he says, God speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. My ways declare the glory of Almighty God." And then in Micah, in the 4th chapter, and verse 12, again, one of the little minor prophets, "But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel." Now, the way we understand the counsel of God is opening the Bible and reading from its pages, and not just making a casual perusal. And by the way, we amended the way that you read the Bible through the years, so we put some new sheets out there. And if you want to be sure and pick up one of those, it's on the front and on the back as well. And we didn't have it all complete, and we apologize to you. We were thinking about doing that in a hurry. No, we really weren't, but that was what was handed to us. And but it has been corrected, okay? There is a better way to think. Look at Psalms 119 and verse 59. It reads, "I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimony." Now, again, David just keeps repeating this same thing. You know, "I not only just pondered it in my heart, or in my mind, but I activated it in my life." God is not in all his thoughts. The book of Psalms 10 and verse 4 says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts in his day, said, Wherefore think ye the evil in your heart?" Isn't that a scary thought, that God knows the evil that you're thinking about? A lot of people say, "Well, boy, that's amazing, you know." But it is so true that God knows the good that you think about, but he also knows the evil that you think about. And so we just have to make sure that our thoughts are on a plateau with where God really is. I don't want to go to hell over my thoughts, and I think a person can. If we dwell on the wrong thing and our mind is focused on the wrong thing, then we know we are in danger of going to hell. But some people say, "What are you doing?" Just thinking. Just thinking. Now, let me share with you just a few thoughts hurriedly here as we go along. Number one, we need to think about our spiritual freedom. You ever thought about how blessed you are to have spiritual freedom? We talk about physical freedom and to be able to move about and do what we do, and God gives us the same liberty, doesn't He? In a spiritual sense. You can either choose to honor God or choose not to honor God. You are at liberty, and in the book of Acts 26 and verse 29, Saul said that I thought with myself that I ought to do many things that were contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He thought. And his thoughts got him in trouble. I dare say tonight that probably every one of us could say that maybe at some point in our life, our thoughts have gotten us in a lot of trouble. And what is so scary about it is the fact that God knows our thoughts. But we can stand in spiritual freedom tonight. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Our reality is that we have gone from slaves of sin to being free in Christ. We are to stand, Galatians 5 and 1 says, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free from sin. We can walk around each day without that burden of sin weighing us down and knowing that God has forgiven our sins. And because He liberated us from the weight of sin and the guilt of sin, that we are those who enjoy our spiritual freedom. And freedom comes not from resisting truth, but from applying it. We see others that go about sad and burdened because they're slaves to their sin. It's true, you cannot be happy and carry guilt around your heart. That's the reason God says He wants to take your guilt. He wants to forgive your sin, and not only forgive your sin and erase those, but He wants to get rid of the guilt in your heart also. And this freedom should cause us to stand firm in our faith and serve the Lord God, as I mentioned a moment ago in Galatians 5 and verse 1. Freedom is not the liberty to do whatever one likes, but the power of doing whatever ought to be done. And that's a big, big difference. Thinking of our spiritual freedom in Christ, it should motivate you to come closer to God. You know, when you think about the fact what all God has done for you, and we get up here and we say, "God, thank You for all Your blessings, and they are so many." But what are God's blessings? You say you're thankful for Him. What are His blessings that we're thankful for? Well, that's based on your thoughts. I hear people say that. As we said last Sunday, Lord's Day, in a sermon, "I'm too stressed, I'm too blessed to be stressed." And it is true, isn't it? Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Secondly, we need to think not only about our spiritual freedom, but we need to think about our faith. How strong is your faith? Do you anticipate it getting stronger? And if you anticipate it getting stronger, how do you go about strengthening it? Well, the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So if that's the case, then we all need to be back in the book, don't we? Increasing and feeding our faith. And the Bible teaches us that we are to grow in our faith. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, what we call the Christian graces, and that's just one of them, our faith, and that is the foundation of all the other Christian graces that we talk about. We know that without faith it is impossible to please God, for Hebrews chapter 11 confirms it in verse 6. And in 1 John 5, verse 4, that passage tells us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's why faith is so important. We should take inventory of the level of our faith. If I were to ask you tonight, how strong is your faith? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the strongest, where is your faith? Most people, and I've asked people that before, and a lot of them would say, "Well, it's about a 5. You know, I'm not way up there where it ought to be, but I'm not down here at the bottom. But how strong is your faith? Where would you put your faith tonight? Faith is something that we need to take inventory of as well, because there is a better way to think. And I like 2 Corinthians 13:5, where Paul really gets down to the nitty-gritty and where the rubber meets the road. And he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are even in the faith. Now, isn't that something? And he's writing to Christian folk like us. And he is saying, you examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And he says, unless indeed you are disqualified. What does it mean to take spiritual inventory? Well, we all know what inventory is and how businesses take inventory. A lot of times you go out to Walmart and they're taking inventory. They're trying to determine what their assets are versus their losses. It means sitting down and taking a serious look at our strengths and at our weaknesses. And when we are weak, we need to do something about it. How does God see you too? It's not so much how we see ourselves, and we look into the mirror of God's word, James says, but how does God see you tonight? It's time to get refocused. At least that's what God says. We should live the faith you want to pass on to your children and to your grandchildren. At home, during the week, live and model your faith before other people. You know, I've always tried to live what we call a transparent life. What you see is what you get. Yeah, I'm not hiding anything. I mean, I'm telling you, I want people to see me and to see me for what I stand for and to see me for who I am. And I'm not pretentious. I'm not trying to be that way. Would not be that way. But if you do not take inventory of your life personally, then you are bound to repeat the same mistakes that led you to your weakened faith. Our faith in God is what will allow us to continue in this life rather than just giving up. You know, sometimes people are ready to throw in the towel and they think the Christian life is just too tough to live. It's the blessed life. It is the only life. It is the life that brings joy and happiness to our soul. Job 22 and verse 29. There is a lifting up, Job said, for the people of God. Our faith will get us through the most difficult times in our life. You ever seen people sometimes who went through all kinds of issues and problems, and you look at them and sometimes they quit coming to church, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with God, and they blame God for all that he did, and they're unhappy. And then on the other hand, you see other people who have gone through struggles and troubles like Job said would happen in Job 14, 1 and 2. And yet they're probably the most happy people in all of the world. They have learned that happiness comes not because you don't have problems, but because you learn to work through them. And if we think about our faith, it will help us to turn to God when trouble surrounds us and evil comes. So David said in Psalm 37. Now, we are to commit ourselves unto God in whatever we do. Whatever you do, think about that one. Over in the book of Colossians, Paul says, whatever we do, let us do it in word and in deed. And that's the way that we should live our lives. But number three, we need to think about our failures. Now, that sounds almost counter to what I've been saying. Now, I'm not saying you should dwell on your failures. If your failures have been forgiven, they're no longer failures. But what I'm saying, we learn from our failures, don't we? We should learn from our failures. And that's why I say we need to think about it. How did I fall the last time? I don't want to do the same thing. I'm going to be very, very careful about where I walk. Some may think that there are mixed messages when it comes to thinking about our sins. Not so at all. We can look back and see where we've come from and learn from our mistakes. Hopefully we do. One of the secrets of life is to make stepping stones out of stumbling blocks. And that is a tough one, isn't it? And you'll never be brave until you get hurt. You'll never learn if you don't make mistakes. Mistakes are made by people who try. And you'll never be successful if you don't encounter failure somewhere along the way. And someone said that word fear. You know, that's a big word that gets us in a lot of trouble, isn't it? Someone that said that fear has two meanings. One of them could be forget everything and run. Like an aneurysm here. Forget everything and run. Or it could be face everything and rise. And I choose to do the latter. And the choice is up to us in life. For Romans 15:4 says, the word of God was written for our learning, that we might strengthen our faith. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many things. He uses the word in the King James language, the word offend. But if we act as though we do not, then we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, when John wrote that epistle to the church, that is the first letter, he wrote three of them, but in that first letter, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. You're thinking wrong thoughts. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about it. You want your sins forgiven? Confess them. That's what he says. And when we do not, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. We're thinking on other things that are wrong. We should take note of the areas where we fail in our best and start working on those areas. Nice thoughts kill tension before tension kills you. Reach your goal before your goal kicks you. And live life before life leaves you, and it can very quickly. And there's one last thought here quickly. That is, we need to think about our future. Do you think about your future? What's in your future tonight? What is it? You know, some young man graduated from high school several years ago, and the preacher asked him, he said, son, he said, what's in your future? And he said, well, I'm going off to college. And the preacher said, what then? He said, well, I guess I'll go for 4 years and I'll get out and I'll get a job. And he said, what then? And he said, well, I'll probably get married. And he said, what then? He says, well, we'll probably have children. He said, what then? And he said, well, I guess I'll rear my children to try to live like God wants me to live. And he said, what then? And he said, I guess I will eventually die. And he said, what then? You know, when you think about your future and when you depart this life through the avenue of death, what then? What does your future really hold? Your thoughts will create your future. Sometimes we get it just totally the opposite, and we start thinking about things after we've already mapped out the future. But you know, thinking the right thoughts will map your future and create it in the way that God wants it to be. And one small positive thought in the morning, I like this one, can change your whole entire day. Be grateful that you are alive. Let me challenge you to do something tomorrow. Think, when you get out of bed in the morning, don't think, oh, my arthritis is killing me, or oh, I got a terrible headache, or oh, I got to go off to work, or oh, it's so cold outside. Think a positive thought and stay on that thought all day long. And you'll find out why people want to be around you. People not interested in being around people complain and gripe all the time. I've said many times, people run from thunderstorms, but they run toward the sun. Until you change your thinking, you will always recycle your bad experiences in life. When I was 5 years old, someone said, my mom always told me that happiness was the key to life. And when I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I wrote down the word happy. And they told me I didn't understand the assignment. And I told them they did not understand life. And you know what? It is true, isn't it? You and I have the opportunity to either make our life happy or to make it sad. Philippians, the 3rd chapter and verse 20. If our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. And he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he's waiting. When we depart this life, we're going to be with him. I hope tonight that you're prepared to be with him. And that when he calls, that you will be ready to receive him. Imagine, think about heaven. Imagine with all of your mind. Believe with all of your heart. And achieve with all your might. God's plan of salvation hadn't changed. I've been preaching it here for many, many years. And I haven't changed the message. I'm not at liberty to change the message. First of all, I'm just simply teaching you what God taught me. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That message needs to go around the world. And we're doing our best with the Give Me the Bible program to do just that. And we get calls every week from people who request materials, who want to talk. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. What are you thinking tonight? Has that ever entered your mind? What's going on in your mind tonight? What do you really think? What are your thoughts? I'll even give you a penny for your thoughts. Let us stand and let us sing.